This is a reading from The Threshold of the Spiritual World, Aphorism 4, entitled Repeated Earthly Lives and Karma, The Human Astral Body and the Spiritual World, Aramanic Beings. The soul finds it particularly hard to recognize that something is at work in the life of the soul that is as outside its consciousness as is the ordinary so-called outer world. Believing that this state of affairs might threaten its own independent existence, the soul unconsciously bristles at the knowledge of it. Instinctively, it averts its spiritual gaze from it. Although science has recently accepted this fact, at least in theory, the soul has not fully experienced the fact itself, or the consequences of inwardly grasping and imbuing itself with it. Once we achieve a vivid conscious experience of this larger environment to consciousness, we learn to understand that there is an inner kernel in the soul's nature. This kernel is like an independent being in relation to everything that unfolds in the realm of conscious soul life between birth and death. That is, our consciousness discovers a being in its depths whose creation it feels itself to be. At the same time, our consciousness also feels the physical body, its bearer, with all its powers and characteristics, to be the creation of this being. In the course of such an experience, the soul learns to feel a spiritual being ripening within it, a being that evades the influences of conscious life. You come to feel how this inner being grows not only ever stronger, but also more independent during the life between birth and death. You come to recognize that during the life between birth and death, the relationship between this being and the rest of your experience is the same as that between the developing seed and the being of a plant and the complete plant that it becomes. The only difference is that the plant seed has a physical nature, whereas that of the soul is a spiritual one. This experience leads one to think that there are repeated earthly human lives, for within this somewhat independent kernel of its being, the soul feels the seed of a new human life. It feels that after experiencing life after death in the spiritual world, an experience of purely spiritual life conditions that cannot be experienced while one is clothed in an earthly physical body, the seed will carry the fruit of its present life forward into a new life. This thought necessarily gives rise to another, that our present sensory life between birth and death is the result of other long-ago lives on earth. During those lives, the soul developed a seed that after death lived in a purely spiritual world. There it remained until it matured enough to be reborn and begin a new earthly life. The process is like a seed that becomes a new plant. First it separates from the old plant in which it developed in order to live for a time in other life conditions. Then it becomes a new plant. By means of exercises that prepare the soul in an appropriate way, suprasensory consciousness can learn to dip into the process that in a certain way forms an independent kernel in one lifetime, which then guides the fruits of this life over into the next. This guide, having at once the nature of an image and of a being, and as if wishing to reveal itself as a separate being, arises from the waves of the soul as a second self. This second self seems independent, set above the being we previously called myself. It appears to inspire that self. As myself, I flow into the second self that is above and inspiring me. Without knowing anything of it, your ordinary consciousness lives in what suprasensory consciousness recognizes as this state of affairs. Here again your soul must have sufficient strength to hold itself erect. Faced both with a spiritual world with which your soul has merged, and with a spiritual being who you are in a higher sense, but who exists outside, who you feel you are in the sensory... Let me read that again. Faced both with the spiritual world, with which your soul has merged, and with the spiritual being who you are in a higher sense, but who exists outside who you feel you are in the sensory world, you must be able to maintain your balance. This second self as image and being rises out of the waves of the soul differently in various individuals. In my plays titled The Portal of Initiation, titled The Soul's Probation, titled The Guardian of the Threshold, and titled The Soul's Awakening, I tried to show how different human individuals work their way through to an experience of this other self. Although the soul in ordinary consciousness feels no inspiration from its other self, inspiration is nevertheless present in the depths of the soul. But that other self does not make itself known through thoughts or inner words. It acts through deeds, processes, and events. It is this other self that leads the soul through the details of its life destiny and evokes its capacities, tendencies, and talents. The other self lives in the entire destiny of a human life. It accompanies the self that is conditioned by birth and death and shapes human life with all its joys, exaltation, and pain. Just as physical human beings ordinarily call themselves I, so suprasensory consciousness, when it meets this other self, learns to call the totality of life's destiny I. In this way, what we call by the Eastern word karma unites with the other self, the spiritual I being. Thus the course of our life is inspired by our own permanent being, which continues from life to life. This inspiration works in such a way that the destiny of one earthly life is the consequence of the previous lives. You learn to recognize yourself as another being, so to speak, different from whom you are in sensory existence. This being manifests itself in sensory existence only through its effects. Once our consciousness enters this world, we are in what we can call the realm of the spirit, as distinct from the elemental world. In the realm of the spirit, we find ourselves standing completely outside the circle where all the experiences and events of the sensory world play themselves out. We look from a different world back toward one we have, in a sense, left behind. But we also come to realize that as human beings we belong to both worlds. We experience the sensory world as a kind of mirror image of the spiritual world. But it is a mirror image in which the processes and beings of the spiritual world are not simply reflected. Rather, it is one in which, though only a reflection, the processes and beings lead independent lives. It is as if you looked at yourself in a mirror, and while looking you saw your reflection take on a life of its own. We come to know the spiritual beings who produce the independent life of this reflected image of the spiritual world. We feel that these spiritual beings originally belonged to the spiritual world, but they left the stage of that world to unfold their field of activity in the sensory world. Thus we find ourselves confronted with two interacting worlds. We can call the spiritual world the world above, and the sensory world the world below. You learn to meet these spiritual beings in the world below by shifting your point of view, as it were, to the world above. One kind of spiritual being presents itself in such a way that you find in these beings the reason we experience the sensory world as material and substantial. Thereby you recognize that all material things are in truth spiritual, and that the spiritual activity of these beings has condensed into matter, the spiritual element in the sensory world. Although certain names are at present unpopular, we still need them for what we see as real in the spiritual world. Therefore, we shall call the beings who cause materialization in the sensory world Aramonic beings. Now, in relation to these Aramanic beings, we may say that their own original territory is in the mineral realm, where they rule and where they reveal their full nature. In the plant realm and in the higher realms of nature, Aramanic beings achieve something different. This difference first becomes comprehensible when you consider the elemental world. Seen from the realm of the spirit, the elemental world also appears as its reflection. But the reflection of the spiritual realm is not nearly as independent in the elemental world as it is in the physical world of the senses. Aramanic spiritual beings have much less influence in the elemental world than they do the sensory world. Nevertheless, out of the elemental world, they develop, among other things, the activity that is expressed in the death and annihilation of existence. Thus we can say that for the higher realms of nature, the task of the Aramanic beings is to cause death. To the extent that death is a part of the necessary order of existence, their task is justified. When you observe the activities of Aramanic beings from the spiritual realm, you will notice that their activity is connected with something else in the world below. Since their arena is the world below, they do not feel bound to the order that would be proper to their powers in the world above, where they originate. In the world below, they strive for an independence they would never have in the world above. This is particularly visible in the effects Aramanic beings have upon human beings as the highest natural realm in the sensory world. Aramanic beings seek to make soul life, insofar as this is united with sensory being, independent. They attempt to tear it free from the world above and incorporate it in their own world. As a thinking soul, the human being originates in the world above. The thinking soul that can behold the spiritual world enters that world above. What unfolds in the world of the senses and the thinking related to it bears within it what may be called the influence of Aramanic beings. In a way, these beings want to give a kind of eternal existence to sensory thinking in the sense world. Since their forces bring death, they want to wrest the thinking soul from death's clutches and let only the other parts of the human being flow into annihilation. It is their intention that the force of human thinking remain behind in the sensory realm and there take on an increasingly Aramanic life. What I just described expresses itself only through its effects in the world below. Human beings may strive to let their thinking souls be permeated by those forces that recognize the spiritual world and live and have their being there, or they may avert their thinking souls from such spiritual forces and use their souls to grasp only the sensory world. The temptation to do the latter comes from the Aramanic forces. The end of Aphorism 4.